Won't always be like this. God still has a plan. God still has a plan. Listen, there's preaching material for us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30 claims our attention. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As you take your seats, I want to start talking today about good news for the weary. Good news for the weary. I wonder, is it anybody here that know anything about being weary? Wouldn't it be marvelous if we had somebody who not only cared about our weariness, but somebody who was willing to help us with our weariness? Wouldn't that be great? Well, I got good news for you. I found somebody who does not only care, but he has some help for those things that make us weary. And in case you fall asleep, let me tell you up front, his name is Jesus. Jesus cares about our being weary, and he has some rest for us. But lest we jump to the middle of the sermon too quickly, the thesis for today is we should be mindful of our weariness and Jesus's offer. What is he talking about? He said, our weariness and Jesus's offer. I need to start with our weariness. First of all, it caught just my studying attention. I'm not sure this is preaching material. It just caught my attention in my study that Matthew is the only one who records this particular call to action. There are a number of things that you can find in all Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then there's a larger group of things you can find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because those are the synoptic writers. But I found it at least interesting that only Matthew records the text that has been read for us today. But I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad at least Matthew wrote it down. I'm not sure if Mark, Luke, and John skipped over it, forgot it, or what. I'm not sure what happened with them, but I'm glad Matthew got it and put it right here in this 11th chapter. Here we have something that uplifts and gives inspirational energy to those who still have ears to hear. It is a call to action for those who are weary, for those who are burdened with the cares of this world. It is so important for us to really appreciate what makes us so burdened and weary, so we will know what we are shouting about when we get to Jesus's offer. So let me start then with two observations about weariness. The first one is, we all carry some burdens. I wonder, could y'all repeat after me? We all carry some burdens. The word burden in our text comes from the word that means overload. It's like the freight of a ship. It's heavy burdens. If we were to pass the mic around, we could create quite a list of burdens that we carry today. There are those who have financial burdens. Just keeping a roof over your head, food on your table, clothes on your back, is a heavy burden for many. When you add the cost of health care, the burden gets even heavier. When you add the cost of trying to put something away for retirement, the burden gets even heavier. If you're trying to help somebody in your family keep up with their bills, the burden gets even heavier. And then there are some who make a heavy situation heavier by wasting the little money you have on consumer items you cannot afford, trying to impress somebody you don't even like. What a mountain of financial burdens. But then there are relational burdens. There is the weight that comes from immediate family, siblings, parents. But then you have the added weight, many do, of spouse and children and grandchildren. Then there is the added weight of friends and relatives. Just about everybody in the room has a cousin that make you pray a little extra. Somebody say amen. How many of y'all know relatives can be, they can add weight to your burden? Just trying to keep healthy relationships healthy is a heavy burden. But it gets heavier when your loved ones betray your trust, when they disappoint your expectations, when they develop a sense of entitlement to your resources. It makes what was heavy, heavier. I wish that was the end of the list, but right next to financial burdens and relational burdens are often health burdens. Diet and exercise is not always fun. It can be heavy, especially if you don't really like doing it. But if you think diet and exercise is heavy, add aches and pains. It gets heavier. The doctor may have given you bad news, and it has made your burdens heavier. Just this morning, coming into the sanctuary, there was a member who was talking about how the doctor has given her bad news. It adds to the burden. And you know, perhaps it would be difficult to say too much about physical health, but right next to physical health, there is an altogether different can of worms called your mental health and your emotional health. We're becoming a little bit more cognizant of how important our mental health really is. Here is where we have depression. Here is where we have anxiety, just a general fear of life. Here is where we have anger issues. There are people who are angry about stuff that happened 20 years ago. But because you have not resolved your issues, the wound of anger is as fresh today as it was 20 years ago. Loneliness is in this area. Paranoia is in this area. There are people who cannot enjoy their life because you're always looking over your shoulder, thinking somebody is after you. Some of us think we are great VIPs. We think we need an entourage to protect us because you think everybody is after you. Bipolar disorder fits into this category. The person that is high and happy today and low and depressed on tomorrow. What a mountain of burdens we have with our health. And then, just when you thought it could not get any heavier, the preacher reminded you of spiritual burdens. There are people sitting here right now who think that you have to handle all of the above by yourself, that you are unconscious of the fact that God loves you, God has power for you, God has blessings for you, but you have the spiritual burden of being disconnected from God. You like coming to church, but you are disconnected from God. I'm actually saying you are not saved. You're church, but you're not saved. And no matter what the preacher says, until you get saved, the promises of God are really not for you. You're shouting on credit. You just like the vibe that happens in church, but you are disconnected from the power source that addresses our weariness. And it may be a breach of homiletic structure, but allow me to interrupt the sermon and say to you, if you are not saved, you ought to get saved today, because this may be the last chance that you get to ask God and trust him to save you, because Jesus paid it all. You need to get saved. It's not enough to just come to church and look the part. You need to get saved, and sure enough, saved. I ain't talking about acting saved. I said, be saved. You need to get saved. We're all dying creatures. And death is going to sneak up on some of us unaware. And you don't want to mess around here and die without things really being well between God and yourself through Jesus Christ. Your church attendance don't mean anything without Jesus. I don't care what formula you were baptized in, without Jesus, you just got wet. It doesn't matter what you wear here on Sunday morning. If you don't have Jesus in your life, you are doomed. You need to get saved. Need to get saved. But then there are others who are saved, but still have spiritual burden because you are not growing. You're saved, but you're not growing. You've been in church 10, 15, 20 years, and your spiritual muscles are just as puny now as when you just started. You look good on Sunday. You can church with the best of us. But when you sit on the couch and have to give explanation of your understanding of God's word, and when we look at how you practice God's word, your understanding and your practices are so underdeveloped that you behave as if you have to carry all of the burdens by yourself. And the preacher came to tell you, today's a good day to make up in your mind that I'm going to at least stumble in the right direction. Now, none of us are running up the King's Highway. But you ought to at least be crawling up the King's Highway. You ought to at least be falling in the right direction. In my prayer time, I believe it was the Holy Spirit who put this sentence on my mind. It says some of our burdens would be lighter if we were tighter with the Lord. I said some of our burdens would be lighter if we were tighter with the Lord. Oh, you got a relationship. You got a relationship. But it's not tight. I mean, he's not Lord of your life. He's an advisor. He makes suggestions, but you're not following his commands. And some of the burdens that we bear would have been lightened by now if we were tighter with the Lord. Are y'all still in here with me? Not only did I want to tell you we're carrying some burdens, here's the second thing I want to say about weariness. Burden carrying can lead to weariness. Which I repeat after me, burden carrying can lead to weariness. Mm-hmm. That word weary in our English Bible comes from worn out, faint, fatigued. If you're carrying burdens on your job, burdens in your home, burdens in your body and mind, burdens in your community, and my Lord, burdens in your church, then you already know what it means to be wore out, faint, fatigued. Even when we are passionate about life and our pursuits, weariness comes our way. I mean, you can love your family, you can love your church, you can love your job, you can have a healthy amount of self-love, and you still get weary on the journey. But then think about how many people have lost their passion. There are people who can't stand their job. The only reason in the world you keep going down there is because you need this check to pay these bills. You can't stand driving to church. Yeah, that's the second part of the sermon. You can't stand driving to work. When you get to work, you can't stand being at work. And when work is over, you hate that you spent so much time at work. It is an exercise in pure willpower and duty. And then there are others who've lost their passion with family. You really have lost the thrill of it. But you're at a point in your life where it's cheaper to stay in than it is to get out. And so you're just making the best out of the situation. But the thrill has been gone. Stop looking at me like that. There are some who've lost their passion with church. They come out of routine. They come out of duty. Some are just too stubborn to leave. There is no expectation that God will meet you in this place. You didn't expect God to bless you. You didn't expect a word from the Lord. You didn't expect any kind of therapeutic benefit from the sweet songs of Zion. You just showing up out of routine. And you wonder why you are worn out. And you wonder why you are faint. And you wonder why you are fatigued. But to this crowd of burden-bearing, weary people, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who are weary, all of you who are heavy laden, all of you who have heavy burdens about your neck, come unto me, is the call to action of our Christ. And here I remind us that Jesus cares about all of those who are weary. Which I repeat after me, Jesus cares about all of those who are weary. Now, when I read that as saying, Jesus cares about me being weary, that makes me feel good. And that's a valid way to read it. But the text says he does not just call me, but he calls all who are weary. Now, let me just talk about me for a moment. There are those who will roll with you. As long as you can carry your own burdens and process your own weariness and meet their expectations. But when your burdens become too heavy and when you become too weary in spirit to meet their needs, to help them with what they want, they've been known to leave you high and dry. Now, a woman could come right here and say, yeah, Reverend, I know you're right. Because I was with Brother Man and it looked like it was going all right. Looked like we was going to make it to about the fourth or the fifth date. But somehow the children came up. And then the pressures of job came up. And then there was family drama that came up. And by the time I processed the burdens and weariness of my life, Brother Man had grabbed his hat and went on about his business. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Somebody had all kinds of friends when you had that good job. And when you was buying all of the rounds, everybody knew your name. But when the burden of being terminated came, and when the weariness of transition came into your life, so many of those so-called friends became absent and unaccounted for. But listen to Jesus. Jesus says, no matter how many burdens you have and no matter how weary you may be, you can still come unto me. In fact, I'm calling you to me. You don't have to accidentally happen up on Jesus. Jesus said, come over here. I got something for you. He did not come for those who have it all together. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He is not repulsed by our burdens. He is attracted to our burdens. He is like the paramedic in the field of play where people are injured and bleeding on the scene, whereas many others run from the blood. The paramedic runs to the blood. They've been trained for this. They have passion for this. And so it is with Christ and our burdens. While others leave us to deal with our burdens and weariness on our own, Jesus invites us to come to him. Those who struggle financially, come to him. Those who have relational drama, come to him. Those who have physical, mental, or emotional health issues, come unto him. Those who have spiritual struggle, Jesus says, come unto me. No wonder our elder said he's a burden bearer and he's a heavy load sharer. This is uplifting. This is inspirational to those who have not given up on God and the promises of our Christ. He said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and who are heavy burdened. Now that's how I read that text when it says Jesus cares about me being weary. But if you read the Bible, it doesn't say Jesus cares about me. He says, all ye who are weary. How many of y'all know the world is bigger than me and you? All who are weary are cared for by Jesus. Now this puts some stuff in the game here. Because since Jesus cares about all who are weary and all who are burdened, we who claim to be Christians, are there any Christians in the house? We who claim to be Christians, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the Christians in the house must pay attention, because if Jesus calls all who are burdened and weary to him, then we who are Christians ought to be extra careful how we treat those who are burdened, those who are weary, those who are less fortunate than we are. The love of Jesus is not just for us, but it is for all who are weary. Now look then at our attitude toward those who are burdened, weary, and less fortunate. The homeless people that's begging for change on the street. The immigrants who are in our country without proper permission. Unemployed veterans that suffer from all kinds of mental illness and substance abuse problems. Women who are being trafficked through our community as sex slaves. People who are addicted to heroin and crack, stealing, robbing, trying to support their habit. People who've been labeled as terrorists. Up under all of the labels we ascribe, here stands a human being that has some image of God in them, and Jesus says, come unto me. No matter what you have been labeled as, no matter what social ills you may suffer, if you can make it over here, I got something for you, so says our Christ. And I'm challenging you who claim to be a Christian in here, that if Christ is so open-handed and so open-hearted towards the burden and those who are weary, then we ought to check ourselves and make sure we are like-minded. There's a text in Matthew chapter 25, and we would like to be like those on the right, the sheep of God. But if you're not careful, the consumerism of our society will make us like the goats on the left. You remember those goats, don't you? In Matthew chapter 25, verse 44 through 45, Matthew 25, verse 44 and 45, it says, they also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. When I was a child in Sunday school, they used to teach us that there are sins of commission and sins of omission. We tend to make a big deal out of the sins of commission, which we probably should, but we tend to not spend much time with sins of omission. You can get in trouble with God for doing the wrong thing, and you can get in trouble with God for failing to do the right thing. My fear is that when we hear Jesus talk about the rest for the burden and weary, we tend to treat the promise as if it is only personal. It is only for you. It is only for me. But if you read the text, it's not just for you. It's not just for me. The call to action is given to all who are weary and all who are burdened. And God oft time ministers through his body, through his bride, through his church. That's us. And so then we should love and have compassion for the weary. But do we? We should have compassion for those who have problems in their life. But do we? We should have an open heart that says, listen, no matter how jacked up you think your life is, get yourself to church. God loves you. We love you. There's a place for you. That should be our attitude. But is it? When I look at how we treat one another, if I was a sinner, I don't know if I would roll up in here. When I look at how we spread our own business and kill one another and gossip on one another, I'm not sure if I was a sinner, I would come to church and tell them church folk about my business. I might tell Reverend, because Reverend might send me to the benevolent fund. But I'm not sure upon all these amens and pretty songs and nice robes, we have a reputation for saying to the burdened and to the weary, come unto us, because there's rest in the house of the Lord. Let me get back over here to the shouting stuff, because y'all don't want no preaching. Y'all just want to feel good. Under Jesus' offer is not only Jesus' care about all of those who are weary, but secondly, Jesus offers rest. Would y'all repeat after me? Jesus offers rest. Yeah, now this rest, the word rest, comes from this ideal of quietness, refreshment, recreation. Jesus offers those who are weary rest. In my preparation time, I want to believe it was the Holy Spirit who put these three ways that God oftentimes give us rest on my mind. Can I share them with you? The first way that God can give us rest is by removing the burden. Somebody say, removing the burden. Oh, we like this part here, don't we? Lord, I want rest in my life. Get these nerve-wracking people out of my life. Lord, I want rest in my life. Somehow give me a better job and keep all of the haters out of my life. And sometimes God does that. He removes the burden. And it doesn't take a whole lot of theological thinking. You don't need a vivid imagination. If God removed the burden, it's easy to stay well rested. And I'm thankful he can move the burden. He can make the mountains get out of your way. Praise the Lord. But God can also, and I might add, God often does so. He does not always move the burden. Sometimes, oftentimes, God gives us extra strength. Can somebody say extra strength? Sometimes God ministers to our weariness, not by moving the burden, but by giving us extra strength to carry the burden. Oh Lord, I wish I could say this the way I feel it. Somebody can look back over your life right here, right now, and see that God has not moved the burdens. You can make a long list of burdens that you've had to bear, but you made it because God has given you extra strength. Somebody could take the mic and give quite a list of extra strength testimonies. Some single mother could come and say, oh, Reverend, I wasn't going to say anything, but since you gave me the mic. I remember raising my children all by myself, working two jobs. There were no moving of burdens, but somehow God gave me extra strength. That not only did my children make it through high school, but somebody got a testimony about how your children have made it through college. And it was not because the burden was moved, but because God gave you extra strength. Somebody's retired now and you can't remember how in the world you had enough strength to work one job, let alone two jobs, but God gave you extra strength. Somebody has been abused by family members and even spouses, but God gave you extra strength. Somebody's been wrongfully terminated. You suffered all kinds of financial hardship. People have began to write your obituary. But here you are today. And how did you make it? Because God gave you extra strength. Lord, I'm trying not to make this thing personal. But somebody's been sick. Others have been injured. And it looked like you couldn't get well. But God has you here today. How did you make it? He gave you extra strength. There's people who talked about you and stumped you when you were down and they thought your life was over. But here you are today with a smile on your face and praise in your heart. How did you make it up in here? It was extra strength. Jesus offers us rest. Sometimes it comes by the removing of our burden. That's normally my plan A in my prayer requests. Lord, get these burdens up out of my life. But then sometime God sends rest, not by moving the burden, but by giving me strength to carry the burden. But here is the third way that God can give us rest. The third way is peace of mind in spite of the burden. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, talks about how God can give us peace that surpasses all understanding. Walk with me now. Being burdened is oftentimes concrete. It's physical. It is something that everybody can see or touch. It's a heavy burden. But weariness tends to be psychological. It's a state of mind. There's people who carry the same burden you carry who are not as weary as you are. They have a different state of mind. Sometimes God gives us rest by changing our state of mind. He gives us peace in the midst of heavy burdens. There are people who can have a peace of mind at the bus stop on their way to their second job, talking about how good the Lord is. They're thankful that they have a coat to put on. They're thankful that it's not raining on their head. But then there are others who are driving along in shiny, paid for BMWs on their way to their business, but just as stressed out as they can be. What I'm telling you is peace of mind is more precious than possessions. This is not just cute. This is significant. Did you hear what I said? I said peace is more precious than possessions. If you ever have to choose now, yes, it would be nice to have both. It'd be nice to have both. But if you can't have both, you're going to find out that peace is more precious than possessions. There are people that have all kinds of possessions. They got all kinds of stuff. They have fine cars. They live in a beautiful house. They have all kinds of stuff in their life. But they don't have any peace. They don't have any joy. It's like a person complaining with loaves of bread up under both arms. You got butter, jelly, and jam. And you still complaining because you don't have peace of mind. And then there are others that have no idea how they're going to pay next month's rent. But they're just as happy as they can be. And they remind the preacher, Reverend Jesus taught us, give us this today our daily bread. They have peace of mind even though they don't have the possessions. And so then, my sisters and my brothers, make sure you stay open to the rest that Jesus offers us. Yes, we all pray, Lord, let this cup pass me by. We all pray, Lord, let it be another way other than Calvary. We all pray, Lord, keep the haters from attacking me. And sometimes God does move those burdens. But there are other times he does not move the burden. He just gives us strength to climb the high mountains. Sometimes he just gives us the strength to deal with all that's going on in our life. Strength to hold our tongue. Strength to manage our temper. Strength to turn the other cheek. Strength to somehow turn the other direction. But then there's a third way that God gives us rest. And sometimes that's just a matter of giving us peace of mind. I got aches in my body, but I got peace of mind. Family is falling apart, but I got peace of mind. This might be the last month I get to drive my car. It's on the recall list, but I got peace of mind. I might be getting evicted from my apartment. I don't know how I'm going to pay next month's rent, but I got peace of mind. Doctor said they found cancer in my body. I ain't got no money to be paying for no cancer treatment. I can't hardly buy an aspirin, but I got peace of mind. He will give us rest. I got to get out of here now. I've tried to get us to see that we should be mindful of weariness, and we should be mindful of Jesus's offer. Now, I would not want you to leave here full of smiles, laughter, and joy, thinking that the devil will allow you to live by the sermon without any temptation, struggle, or challenge. On the contrary, the enemy will do all that he can to get you to turn left, because the Holy Spirit is trying to get you to turn right. But I thank God that we got some help to help us stay on the right road, going in the right direction. And I need about 5 more minutes of your attention span to talk to you about the help that we have. His name is Jesus. Has anybody heard about my Lord? He will come to your rescue. Oh yes he will. When it seems as if you cannot carry your burdens another further, I got somebody who will help you with your burdens. When your mind is all messed up, you're so weary, you're so worn out, you're burned out, you are fatigued, you can't hardly move in the morning. I got somebody who will put pep back in your step. I got somebody who will give you joy, unspeakable joy. I know what heavy weight can do. I know what burdens can do to your spirit. But please, please, y'all, listen to the preacher now. I got somebody who can recharge. Recharge your batteries. Did you hear what I said? I got somebody who can give you strength outside of yourself. His name is Jesus. I love to just call his name. Jesus. Yes, sir. If you ever feel yourself becoming weary in well-doing, I got something better than White Zinfandel. I got something better than Jack Daniels. If you ever feel low and can't get up, I got something better than the blues. I got something better than the TJMS show. I got something better than the quick fixes of the world. His name is Jesus. And what I love about my Lord is he's always just a prayer or a praise away. Whatever you want to do. Sometimes I feel like praying. Other times I feel like praising. Whatever mood I'm in, he's right there, quicker than quick. He brings joy from my sorrow. He brings peace from my despair. Who would not serve a God like this? I gotta get out of here now, but please, 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 y'all, let me sing, let me read the words to my song. It says, it won't always be like this. Somebody needs this part of the sermon. You came in here with so many burdens. You came in here so weary in spirit. You came in here feeling so beat up, so broke down. But the preacher came to tell you it won't always be like this. God will perfect that concern in you sooner or later. If I had my way, it would always be sooner. But I'm learning sooner or later, it will turn to my favor. Excuse me, y'all. He's turning it around for me. I'm sorry it has become so personal, but I'm glad that he's turning it around for me. Did you hear what I said? I said he's turning it around for me. And can I tell y'all what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna keep on praising him. I'm gonna keep on singing about his goodness. I'm gonna keep on smiling because he's turning it around for me. Don't you think
that I'm crazy?
I see enemies plotting and scheming. It ain't over, but I got somebody who is over, and he's turning it around for me. Now don't hate, don't get upset, don't be envious. God is a big God. He's not just turning it around for me, but he can turn it around for you. Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me now. Just tell your neighbor, God is turning it around for you. Do your hand like this. God is turning it around for you. Now everybody is not gonna go with you, so just look up towards heaven and tell the Lord, Lord, thank you for turning it around for me. Isn't God all right? Sooner or later, it's gonna turn in your favor. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare throw in the towel. I know you are burdened. I know you are weary. But Jesus has good news. He offers rest. He got something to get you through. Please, I got to quit now. But please, don't give the devil the satisfaction of seeing you quit. Don't let the devil rejoice in your panic attacks. Don't give the devil the satisfaction of seeing you running around afraid of your own shadow. Have you not heard that God will take care of his own? No wonder, no wonder, no wonder, no wonder. The psalm writer said, the Lord, he is my light and my salvation. Whom, I said, whom shall I fear when the wicked, even my enemies, came upon me to eat of my flesh? They all stumbled, they all fell, though a host should encamp against me. My heart shall not fear. The Lord will take care of you. If you're weary, if you're burdened, you're in the right place. We got somebody who won't talk about you. We got somebody who won't stomp you when you're down. We got somebody who won't put your business out. He says, come unto me, bring all your burdens. Come unto me, bring your weary heart. Come unto me, whatever's wrong, I can fix it. No matter how heavy, I can lift it. No matter how broke, I can fix it. No matter how rough, I can smooth it out. No matter how dark, I can turn the light on it. He's able, he's able, he's able, he's able, he's able. I said he's able. I said he's able. I said he is able. You don't have to walk around here with a hung down head, having a pity party about your burdens and your weariness. Jesus invites you to come to him, not just so he can have a pity party for you and cry with you, but he has an alternative. He says, I will give you rest. I'm not going to send it to you. I'm not going to delegate it. I'm not going to send it through somebody. I will give you rest. If you can press past your burdens, press past your weariness, and get yourself to Jesus. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. You've come too far to throw in the towel now. I know it's heavy. It's heavier than you thought it was going to be. You never guessed you would be going through what you're going through at this season in your life. I feel you. But I'm telling you, it's not over. If you can just get yourself in the hands of the Lord is able to give you rest in spite of your burden and replace that weary spirit. But it's really up to you. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. Things are not well between God and yourself. You ought to come today. You can use the forms that are in your bulletin. But since you're here, you might as well just come on. That's right, brother. That's right. If you know you need to come, just come on right now. No matter how jacked up you think your life is, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. I know your burdens are heavy. I know your spirit is weary. But you got somebody that's in your corner. He cares about you. He has such a better alternative for you. But you got to trust him.